I'd ask you to open your Bibles tonight. We are more than conquerors. In Exodus chapter 17 and verses number 8, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8, and you can remain seated as I read these verses of Scripture tonight. And one of the things that we can say, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, because we have Christ in our hearts, and we can also have those, you might say, those temptations before us. You might say those obstacles that are before us as well. But because of people just like you all, and we was in a church the other day, and it said this, Bill and Sharon, there's not a day that passes that we don't pray for you and Sharon over these many years, and we just want to say thank you. Because of the people that pray, maybe they don't write us, maybe they don't email us, maybe they don't telephone us, but you know, those prayers are important in the life of the pastor and as a missionary as well. In Exodus chapter number 17, Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 8 says these words, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and get out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out of the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissa. For he had said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. We are more than conquerors. And the one thing that we can see, first of all, that Joshua had in that battle before, and to win the battle, Moses said to do this and this. And you know, the battle is before us. You know, a missionary that this past month, this year anyway, was killed there in Mexico. And not only them, but you know, some other ones. A pastor in North Dallas yesterday night had a heart attack, and he passed away as well. You know, you never know what's going to become of our lives. We need to live the life for the Lord Jesus Christ today. And let your life shine before men. Joshua was told to go to the battle against Amalek, and that he would win as long as Moses' his hands were up with that rod. And the rod is what we consider the power, and with the word of God as well. Moses used what he had. And what do you and I have? We have the word of God in our hands tonight. We have the prayer. We have also our tithes and our offerings also. And we thank the Lord for that. But what you have is what you can give to the Lord. Lord, here am I. You take me and use me as I am. Joshua had his chosen men. You know, if you just turn over in your Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And what we find, what Paul said to those of Philippians in the church there. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 12, Paul says these words. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my present only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And we are living in that tonight. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What do you have tonight? And I asked it this morning in the church where we was at in there in Arlington, Texas. How many of y'all have cars? Oh, everyone put their hand up. Now, how many came to church on a bicycle? One of the young men there, the teenager, that it was our privilege to lead the Lord and baptize just before we came home on furlough. He lives about 20 minutes away on bicycle. And how many of you all have brought your Bibles on a bicycle and rode 20 minutes? And I know for some of the older ones, you know, one thing about it, if you have that motorized wheelchair, you can do that too anyways. But you know, sometimes with the holes that we have, and especially with all this, the fast traffic of Texas anyways, and so I'd be such afraid. But it, you know, it's not difficult because my wife and I, there we live right there around Cooper, at the mall around Cooper. Here comes a motorized wheelchair coming up on one of those ramps. I never saw the like of it anyway. I'd be scared to death, at least here in Texas anyways, and here in the States. But you know, he comes on a bicycle Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And that Sunday night and Wednesday night, he has to come in the dark. Now, we have lights in our streets that way. But, you know, what happens when you come on a bicycle? It's kind of like the postman. You can spot out a postman, the one who reads the meters, your electric meter, your gas meter, and maybe your phone, whatever it has. And here comes the dogs. And he has to fight off the dogs anyways. And he has to fight off the robbers. One time he said he was coming to church anyways, and the guy said, hey, stop this for a second. And when he asked him to stop, the other person robbed him of his bicycle. Not the teenager, but another one of his friends. So you never know what battle we're going to come in before our eyes. But you know, the battle is before us. And you know, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can say one thing, the devil is trying to discourage you and is trying to discourage us. He's trying to discourage the people there in Mexico. But you know one thing about it? Your prayers mean a whole lot to those people there. And not only in Mexico, but around the world as well. They said it this morning in the morning service, where we was, that the fastest as far as people at getting saved in the world is not America. 10,000 people a week in China are accepting the Lord. The statistics came out. And that's great. It should be America anyways. That's what we all across America, of having people getting saved and also seeing them baptized and dedicating their lives to Christ as well. The battle is before us. But the good thing about it is what we find out also. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says these other words to the Corinthian church as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 11, Paul says these words. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You know, one thing about it we could say is the book, the Word of God. And what should we do also about the book, the Word of God? We should take that for our example. Read it and digest it and live it, and then give it out to somebody else as well. Years ago, when I was sick in 1981, and we went back to Brazil, and I took my VW van up on that dirt road of 475 miles, and a tanker truck, a gasoline truck. And he came, he looked at me, I saw his brake lights break, and I broke too, and we both backed up together. Bill, I thought you died. Anyways, that's during the time that I was in the hospital for 6 weeks back in 1981. I said, no, I'm not dead yet anyways, I'm still living. But you know, our example, and our lives, he stopped and he was refreshed, if I could say those words. Bill and Sharon are back here again anyways. But you know one thing about it, your life should be also an example of what we have, the examples in the book of God, the Word of God. Joshua was that example. Moses was that example. The Apostle Paul was that example. Esther was that example. But you know one thing about it, these things were written so that we could be animated in the Lord. Now, I'm not like the Apostle Paul. I haven't been shipwrecked, although one of the times our boats was just about ready to go under. I have not been beaten in any ways like that. The closest thing that we have had is people criticize us. And people have done other things. And years ago in Novi Down, when we went back to see that little city of Novi Down, there was about population about 500 people. And now it's about 3,000 people. By the way, the first church that we started was in Novi Down. And it's running about 25 to 35 people. But you know, across the city of Novi Down. And now what they have done as that little congregation, they've started another congregation on the other side of town. And you know, that's what it's all about. And also, not only working ourselves out of a job, but also asking them to go and do likewise. Win the lost, see them baptized as well, and then also they're, you might say, going out and starting another congregation on the other side of town for the glory of God. Well, these things were written for their examples. And we can go through the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. People can go to the book of God, the Bible, the Word of God. And the Bible says also that those Amalekites were, you might say, were taken under. As long as Joshua obeyed the work of God and the people prayed and he obeyed what God has said in his plan, to go and do likewise. A couple of Sundays ago, it was Super Bowl Sunday. And I know Texas was not in it. And I know Ohio was not in it either, if I could say that anyways. But one thing about it, the preacher said this to my wife and I. We're church people here. We come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know one thing about it, he had one of those recorders. He said, I want to see the game. I still want to see who won. Anyways, the Super Bowl. Don't tell me. After the church services. And you know, that's what Sunday's all about. The Lord's Day. Going there to see what people are. And you know, sometimes your problems and sometimes your aches and pains is not even to me. It might be half of what somebody else is going through as well. But your presence in the house of God will animate the other people also to come back to hear the Word of God as well. And then also, what else do we do with the book of God? It also says we need to give an offering. Give an offering. Now, Brother and Mrs. Smith is going to England anyways, and it takes money there. And the dollar there is below the Brazilian one anyways, as far as the change of the dollar into the whatever the pounds that they have there in England anyways. But you know one thing about it? We can give. And you know, seeing those Brazilian people also giving of their tithes and giving of their offerings also back to the work of God. Some time ago, I challenged our people there, of that 10 to 12 to 15 people anyways. One of our missionaries that we help support in Venezuela had a need of some Bibles anyways. And they had 200 reais. That may not mean much to you. It's about $100. And I told our congregation, as you would give above your tithes and offerings, and if that is whatever comes in, half of it will send that money up to that missionary up there in Venezuela, a Brazilian. And by the way, now the Brazilian people are also being called of God after they're in saved, called of God to preach the word of God. And now they're going to the regions beyond. They're going to Venezuela. They're going to Chile. They're going back to Portugal. They're going to a place in a part of Africa that speaks the Portuguese language. Then near Indonesia is another one also that speaks the language of Portuguese. And well, and if you don't know that, go like the Brazilian missionary. They went to Chile, had to learn Spanish anyways. And it's close to also to Portuguese. And another is going to Chile as well, taking their families and having also to learn what it is now. Is to start from scratch and also learn the culture there. In Chile, where the missionary is, it doesn't get above 75 degrees, but it gets a whole lot lower than that. But they're used to having 75, that's the day that it starts out with in the morning, and gets up to 105 every day of the year. Well, now they said it doesn't rain every day there in Chile where they're at, but you know, of learning the Spanish, putting his kids in school as well, or teaching them, and then to learn a new culture, to learn some new some food as well, and to learn the people, and beginning to love those people, and he's already won some of those to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the best way to study the Bible is to come to the house of God. And then you know one thing about it. There was the battle. If we obey God and do his plan, the victory will be there. And then if we'll put our mind and matter to read God's word every day, that will become a part of our life. But there's one more thing. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 15 says these words. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi, or Nisi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalekite from generation to generation. You know, when the victory has been won, and they sang about that tonight here in the song. And when the victory has been won, I always say to you, it's great. One of these days when we all get to heaven, those who have named the name of Christ, out of every tribe, out of every nation, out of every country, that will be a glorious sight to see. But because you have prayed and you have given, a part of Worth Baptist Church also, of going to the other country, going to the regions beyond. And maybe you never have went to the regions beyond personally, but by seeing also the slides and the DVDs and the testimonies of the missionaries going to their respectable countries where God has called them to. Well, this last verse I would say, there's the banner. There's the victory also. There's the battle, and there we obey God's word and does what he says, and then there's that banner, and the victory has been won. And one of these days, the victory will be ours, and we can rejoice in it, and we can sing the hallelujah chorus as well. Well, God's deeds reveal his name. And that's when we all get to heaven, and we can, because you did pray, because you did go, because you did witness, and because you did pray, that these things have become a reality. Winning people to Jesus, giving to missions, praying for others, being faithful in your church and church attendance. Well, we're more than conquerors. Don't let the devil discourage you from serving the Lord. Do what you have with your life now while you have the life. And you'll never know when somebody comes up. Years ago, you came to our house. Years ago, you telephoned me on the telephone. Years ago, you sent me an email. And years ago, And one of these days, all these things will find out they've been written in a book. And then, because you have shed those tears, because you have prayed those prayers, and because you've animated the other people, the work of God has become a reality. Oh, by the way, Joshua did win the victory over the Amalekites there. As long as he obeyed God, and as long as we do likewise, the Lord will bless your life. But you know one thing about it? What is the first and most that we go to Brazil for, as well as the other missionaries, is to see people come to accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And I'll never forget this. It was because I was a teenage boy of 16 years of age, and a farmer down the road took me to church and Sunday school. And it's because I saw the missionary slides after I was saved and baptized that the Lord called me to go to Brazil as missionaries. But before I could go, I found a wife, and that's my wife Sharon anyway, from West Virginia. And she went along with me. But you know, we go as a team. And you know, it's because of those people there. And by the way, my first giving to missions was $5 a month. Now that may not seem much to you, but that was big money back in 66. Anyways, for my wife and I, or at least for myself anyways, of giving $5 a month for missions. $60 a year. But you know, that has become a reality. And now, what can God do with you if you'll be willing? If you've never accepted Christ, accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've never dedicated your life, do so. You know, the Lord may not call everybody to the mission field or to be a pastor, but He's called us all to be faithful. And that's exactly what we need to do until Jesus comes back again. Let's stand with our heads bowed as the pastor comes tonight. How's your life? Don't let the devil discourage you. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us.